The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Did you get a new contact? The time was short. Now I will close on time so that you can. Hallelujah. Father, we receive the word this evening. This afternoon with open hearts. We ask, Lord, that in this short time, answers to questions will be given, solutions will be found, and results will be seen. In the name of Jesus, I receive utterance, and I receive for everybody here revelation and understanding, clarity. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Okay, today is Singles Connect 3.0. Hallelujah. And it's always been a good time. This is not a relationship meeting as you know it. This is a response to an instruction the Lord gave me towards the end of last year. The Lord asked me to put up a series of teachings on relationship that affect singles to answer questions on what the Bible has to say. Now, let me start by saying, whenever you come for Singles Connect, in case you're here for the first time, don't expect me to say what you want to hear, because I'm going to scatter a lot of things you believe once it agrees with the Word of God. One of the things challenges of our generation is that a lot of things we believe, and it's already becoming very popular, but are totally against the Bible. You get the point? And one of the things I've learned to do as a pastor is to be unapologetic about the truth. Okay, when something is the Bible truth, you say it like that. When people want to die, they should die. When you begin to want to become a man pleaser as a pastor and say what people want to hear in their relationship and in their life, you find out you are gradually losing your calling. You know what I'm saying? Before you know, you are losing the call of God. You are now answering to men because you are saying what you want or what they want you to say. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's why you notice, for instance, one of the things I've been dealing with very recently in church, anytime I'm talking, all my digressions go towards that place, is the issue of feminism. You've observed, right? The issue of feminism. You see, for what feminism stands for in the world today, don't know I'm starting from there today, but what it stands for in the world today, it is totally against the Bible. Now, I've kept saying this. If feminism means that a lady can be Nigerian president, then I'm a feminist. Okay, if feminism means that a lady can get to whatever level she wants to get to in this life, then I'm a feminist. I'm a full support. The Bible is support of that. You get the point? Hope you know that. In the Bible, that in fact, actually, the Bible teaches, listen to my teaching on women in ministry. You find that a woman can even be a bishop. The Bible is not against that. If you have an issue with that, get the message. It's not even on the site, so look for it and get it. You get the point? But a woman can be anything. If that's what feminism means, I'm in for that. But you see, feminism means that you'll be fighting with your husband in his house looking for who will cook food and who will breastfeed the baby. It's against the word of God. You get the point? The Bible teaches that a woman should be able to keep her home and you should carry it with pride and honor. I don't see why it's a bad thing. It doesn't mean you are the lower person. It's just responsibility and job description. You get the point? Someone in the office is his duty to write whatever. We call him the secretary. Another person is his duty to take calls. It doesn't mean anybody's better than anybody. They're just doing their job. I didn't get the point. I said, I don't know why it's the problem. At that time they were arguing, why should a man open the door for a woman? That it depicts that the woman is weak. And most of the people arguing these things are people who have issues in their marriage. And then the next one that is trending all over the place is where ladies, I say, if you love him, go and tell him. That is unscriptural. It is demeaning. It is insulting to the female gender. It is an aberration. It's unheard of. You approach a man and say, you know, I love you. You reason him. It don't make sense. It was never done in the word of God. You know, the Bible always teach a man should find. Sister, stay to be found. Let them find you. I don't know where you're learning from, but definitely not here. Where are you going to believe that you can actually walk up somebody and say, well, You see, I love you. I'm going to tell you. You know, most of the times you do that, the person might even agree and start dating you. I've been a victim of that once. Yes. And whenever you're a victim of that, if you're a guy here and you're a kind person, it puts you under pressure. A lady walked up to me and said, well, I don't know what I'm going to make of this, but I'm just going to tell you my mind plainly. I'm in love with you. I have feelings for you. Whatever I want to do, deal with it. I said, eh? Like, I was quiet for some time. And then the girl was very smart. She now started to say, anyway, I know you're going to start looking down on me because I've brought myself so low to tell you this. But and I'm saying, no, I'm not looking down on you. And I was now fighting so hard to prove to her that. So if I don't call her, and she calls, say, well, it's been long you called me. I know you will not call me again now since I've been there. I said, no, it's not like that. I've been busy. And then I found myself, I'll be calling to prove that. No, it's okay. She's lucky it's not now. When I was a child. You try it now. No. I love you. I love you too. In the love of Jesus. Now, you find that when you're done with that, the guy might even date you. But over time. You know, I heard a couple quarreling. And the other one was telling the person, nobody will check me. A guy was telling the lady, nobody will check me. Nobody will come. It was very embarrassing. He said, my guy is not like that. Who told you he's like that? He's the general overseer of people that are like that. He's like that. Don't say, he will say that. The guy was saying, it's not that checked me. So leave me alone. If you don't want, just pack your things and go. I'm saying, he doesn't have respect for me. No, you insulted yourself first. So he's giving it back to you. Well, that's not my teaching today. I'm just saying that when you come in here with a lot of ideologies in your head, you must be ready to drop them. You know, when I was teaching you on the sojourn, as I told you that one of the things you must do for yourself as a believer is to decide to tailor your belief system to the word of God. Get the point? What the word says is true, is true. Sorry? Whatever the word does not support, even if it is popular, is not true. Excuse me. Hello? Okay, now, today I'm just dealing with what we call fears in relationships, okay? And I'm teaching based on what the questions different people have sent. Both people here and people are not here. Okay? A lot of questions flew to my mail within the week. So I've tried to group all of them into 6 different categories and I'll address these fears. Okay? Now listen. In the course of this teaching, if you have a question, please write it and drop it to the usher so that at the end of this, we're going to answer them. It will be on first come, first served. In the course of this, if you have a question, drop it with the ushers. Now, people have a lot of fears in their relationships. One of the things I want to start by saying is that relationships should be enjoyed. You know, right? God did not create relationship for you to endure it. He said, it is not good for the man to be alone. He said, I will make him a helpmeet. So in God's mind, relationship, marriage is a beautiful thing. That's what God thinks about marriage. That's what God thinks about relationship. It's supposed to be a beautiful thing. Are you still here? And so I keep saying this, whenever I want to teach on this. If God thinks marriage is beautiful, I think so too. So I don't care whatever fears you have in your relationship. Some people are scared of a lot of things. I don't want to date because of this, that. You see, you must agree with me that God is a good God. And if God thinks marriage is beautiful, then I think so too. And so no matter what my experience is, no matter what I've seen, I will take stance with the word of God and deal with these fears. Because the word of God is the word of God, and it says marriage is beautiful. It is not good for a man to be alone. I will make him a helpmeet, and God made a helpmeet. And when man saw the woman, you see the excitement. He said, this is now bone of my bones. So they never saw marriage as a terrible thing. Today, some of you run at the, once they mention marriage, you're on the run. Once they mention dating, you're on the run. Because there are a lot of fears in the hearts of people. For instance, I'm already dealing with one. The major fear, one of the major fears people have as far as relationship is concerned, is the fear of commitment. Brothers, praise God. Brothers. Guys, praise God though. You know, that is this, and it's even affecting ladies now. He said, I don't want trouble in my life. Everybody should just be where they are. People are scared of committing. Of committing. Sticking to one person all my life. Somebody told me, said, and I was telling somebody, say, it's like they give you a DSTV decoder They give you the remote control and they say, choose one station and keep watching it all your life. Whereas you have the remote control to change the station. So many of us, what we want to be doing is to be just changing. And so in so in a sense, I belong to everybody and I belong to nobody. So I'm just here. I'm not really dating you. We're just friends, normal friends, friends with benefits, serious friends, unserious friends. All of you are just there. I'm just a generalist. I'm not a specialist. And people are scared of committing. And I tell you why these fears come. One of the reasons these fears come, for instance, is some people believe, I don't want to be accountable to anybody. If I enter a relationship, I don't have strength to be telling a person where I'm going to every morning. I don't know if you have, thinking about this. Does it cross your mind? Just be sincere. What? Raise your hand. If you don't raise your hand, then you are the person I'm talking about. That's, I don't have strength to have to tell someone I'm going to every day. But let me say this. You see, commitment is maturity. One major test of maturity is that you are ready to stick to one person or stick to one thing for a very long time, possibly all your life. People who are not committed, even in church, in life, people that jump from place to place is a sign that are not mature. People that are mature stay committed to one thing or to one person all the days of their life. Children want to be here and want to be there. They want to be here, just like when we teach on church. Some people don't really want to stay committed to any church. This morning they're in Deeper Life. The next day they're in Jehovah's Witness. The other day they're in Christ Embassy. The next morning they're in Catholic. They're just everywhere. You are Satan, moving to and fro, seeking who you may devour. It's a sign of maturity to choose one thing. You know, even if your choice is the wrong choice, it's good it was your choice. Did you hear what I said? It's good it was your choice. At least when you make that mistake, you will learn to make better choices. Many people don't want to be committed. They don't want to be moving from place to place. Church, I don't want to be anywhere for now. Let me just be. And that's the same thing you carry into your relationship. And you see that fear of, I don't want to be accountable to anybody. I don't want to be telling somebody where I'm going to. Well, I need to work every morning in the end of the day. Where did you go to? Who was that guy that's taking you out? Who is this number? What's this number? Does this happen in your relationship? Now let me tell you one thing. You see, accountability should be found in a relationship. But please, let it flow out of love. Accountability becomes a burden in a relationship when the person is compelled. When you are now doing it out of necessity. So I have to tell my guy who this girl is. If not, we'll get into trouble. And if that's your relationship, you have to stop that. You are making something that should be a sweet flowing stuff into something that is now very stressful and scary. I don't get the point. It should be that at the end of the day, your guy calls you. I mean, how was your day? So my day was beautiful. My day was very sweet. I was with this guy today. I just gisting him. I don't even get the point. It's not like you're trying to report yourself. Say, sir, I went out with somebody today. No. It's supposed to be a flow. But many people have brought it. Some guys, some ladies too. So I don't think a commitment should be something you are scared of. The only reason that has the capacity of making you scared of commitment is that you have maybe your previous relationships or in this one you are in now. You have messed everything up. Sir, I was with somebody today and he said he's taking me out. Sir, this name on my phone is Kingsley. Kingsley is actually my friend though. There's nothing. Why will your girl have to report herself to you? She makes a flow. So commitment should be something that's good. Another reason people don't like, let me say this. Any relationship that is not geared towards commitment should be called off. It's if we're doing something and we don't say, what are you guys doing? We are just. Do you guys get married? Say, marriage is not really, we're just doing. You know what you guys are doing? You guys are planning a heartbreak. You are planning to break each other's heart. It will not be long. Commitment should be seen and people are scared of it. And this fear of commitment sometimes manifests in the fact that people believe that monotony kills interest. How many of you believe that? That if you are with one particular person over time, you will get bored. Is it true? Now come on, is it true? Have you been with one person for a very long time? Well, let me tell you, give you the answer. It's actually true. Yeah. It is true that when you stay with one person, imagine you're married, wake up with the person in the morning, sleep with the person in the evening, wake up the next morning. For the next 3 years, you are seeing this face every day. And the girl or the guy is unchangeable. How he is today is how he is tomorrow. He's like, he's God in heaven, just like that. Now, there is a tendency that you will begin to lose the vibe. Have you seen relationships that broke up because they lost the vibe? And many people are scared of commitment because they don't want to lose the vibe. The answer is simple. Marry or date your friend. When you date someone that you have, so that even when the vibe in quote is gone, there is something to talk about. It's because when you start a relationship, the only thing guys do is call in the morning and say, I love you, I love you, I miss you, I love you, you're beautiful, I love you. Take care of yourself. Good night. The next morning, I love you. What did you eat? Have you eaten? I love you. I love you. Your clothes is fine. Your hair is fine. Good night. Bye. The next day, you will get tired. There's nothing to talk about. But when you marry someone, there's someone that you guys have a common interest. Even when the vibe in quote is gone, there is something to talk about. You get the point? There is something to engage the relationship. Some people say this, I can't date him. We are too close. What's wrong with you? Who exactly do you want to date again? And you date someone that you guys have contrasting interests. You're a believer. You like prayer, study of the word. I date someone that doesn't even know a thing about and is not even interested. You guys have a very big problem. Because you will bring your own talk. Whatever he's saying will be getting you bored. Whatever you are saying, imagine he's not interested in church. Every day you're telling him, see, if you program I got, hi. Pastor was saying, he mentioned, you see this Greek word. What is it this morning? You are boring him because you guys don't have a connection. What he wants to talk about is maybe Big Brother Niger or something like that. But then you just watch once in a while. Okay, it's not like you really, really watch. But then, so you can't sustain that kind of communication. So one of the ways to make sure you don't lose your vibe in a relationship is you must make sure they are dating someone that is actually your friend. Someone that is actually your friend. So I would say marry your friend, date your friend, someone with a common passion, with common interest, okay? And then when you feel like you are losing that vibe, all I'm trying to tell you this evening is that you should not be scared of commitment because of this reason. When you feel you are losing that vibe, let me tell you what to do. I'll say this when I'm closing. Be deliberate and intentional about love. You know, I say this, listen to this, to a child, you must have heard me say this a couple of times, to a child, love is about giving and receiving. A child believes, I love this brother, he always buys me milkos. I love this, my auntie, this, he always buys me fine tom and fine clothes. Now, that's what love means to a child. Now, to a teenager, adolescent, love is a feeling, it's an emotion. I just saw him and, hey, it's butterflies in my belly. That is what love means to a teenager. And amazingly, that is the definition of love everybody has. If you've been here long enough, you will know that butterflies always fly away. One day, they're going to fly away. And that's why once they fly away, they're looking for the next butterfly. So you find out if you want to sustain that, but for the adults, for the mature, love is a decision. You know what I'm saying? To a child, love is receiving. To an adolescent or a teenager, love is a feeling, passion. But to an adult, love is a decision. Bible said, husbands, love your wives. No, he didn't say, husbands, you already love your wives. In other words, love is something you have to decide to do. Do you get the point? And so when you are in a relationship and you think you are losing the vibe, that is when to now decide to deliberately begin to love the person. As in when the whole things have flown away, the whole butterflies. Now, I was saying this last singles connect. You know, love is not enough for a relationship. You know, right? Love is never enough. Amazingly, people don't know that love is not enough. Because you see, I'm not cursing you. But you see, this you are feeling for this girl now, it's going to end. I'm telling you in the name of Jesus, it's going to end one day. You're going to stop feeling that way. And it's not because anybody's cursing, it's just life.
So when you stop feeling that way, it is now your conviction that will keep you there in that relationship. But because we don't want that, we get into relationship just out of love, not conviction. Once the thing goes, say, I don't want commitment. I just feel just to be on my own. And that's what people want to be. You want to be here. You want to be there. So a lot of people are scared of commitment. Well, I'll touch this later. Another fear people have in relationship, for instance, is insecurity. Another thing that causes in relationship, some people feel, am I good enough for a relationship? Have you ever felt that way? Am I good enough? Am I sure I'm not going to choke this guy? Am I good enough? This insecurity. Okay, another way this manifests is, have you ever felt, I don't want to show this guy that I love him too much? What if I fall so much for him and he now dumps me? This fear of being dumped is insecurity. Get the point? What if he dumps me? As that my friend should just give everything to that guy. Or dump boy. Men are just scum. And they see some guys too that have terrible perception about women. It's just that insecurity is speaking. What if she walks out? Ladies, leave them all. Leave ladies. So don't go there. There's a lot of insecurity in the heart of people. And this thing causes fear. Another fear is, for instance, what if he takes advantage of my vulnerability? You know, of course, you know, when you love somebody, you're vulnerable to the person. Remember I said that the first time. You're vulnerable to the person. If a passerby calls you idiot, he might not get to you. He makes you idiot in Kegeba and life goes on. But then when someone you love, you're in a relationship with, calls you names, it enters, passes through the oesophagus and gets to the retina. Yes. And now goes from the retina to where? To the cerebrum. It goes to every part of your being. Hallelujah. You see, some people don't even get the joke. They don't even know where anyone is. So, it's not supposed to be a joke to them. Well, but then, the reason you are feeling hurt that way is because you are vulnerable to the person. This is something that any other person would have done. It will not pain you. Now, because of this, people are so scared. So that this insecurity. Let me tell you how to handle insecurity relationship. Simply put, build your esteem. It is a low self-esteem that makes people insecure in their relationships. Why do you always feel that girl is going to dump you for another guy? Somehow you believe you are not good enough. That there is one guy out there that is better than you. You get the point? So men are overprotective today over their women because they are insecure. Because you know that if you let her go for that whatever, she might see some people that she will prefer to you. And so it's just, sometimes the girl has not committed, you're already angry. You want to be going out, going to everywhere. Continue. Why are you angry? She hasn't done anything. I didn't get the point. Who was that girl in your car? I say, it's okay. I'm not jealous. I'm not even jealous. Continue your life. What's happening? You are insecure. No crime has been committed. But insecurity is showing you must build your esteem. What we call self or Christ esteem, rather. Build your esteem on what the word of God said concerning you. The fact that you are accepted. If you know that you are accepted in Christ, and you know it enters deep, nobody will dump you and you break down. Nobody. I'm telling you, nobody will dump you and you break down. You see, you're a believer in Christ and somebody dumps you or breaks your heart. Let me tell you, you are permitted to feel bad or feel down for a very short time. Why should you even? See, nobody should dump you and you break down. You can feel hurt. You're a human being, okay? You can just feel hurt. But then if it keeps you down for a very long time, you see, you're having serious esteem issues. Because you're feeling bad. That's why for most guys, the most painful part of a breakup is that a girl left you for another guy. True of us? Huh? True of us? Let me say it again. For most guys, the most painful part of a breakup is that a girl left you for another guy. True of us? And why is it going to pay you like that? You feel like, after looking at you, it looks like it's an attack on your esteem. Get the point? she left me for this guy. What does that guy even have? And the next thing I've come is because I've not made money. So I must blow. And what makes you think is because you don't have money? Even if you have money, she might still leave. You just have a problem. Work on your esteem. Do you know it is a good esteem that will make a very short-looking, ugly boy stand before a very tall, elegant girl and is shaking and saying, "Na like him, okay?" I am telling you. You see, you know, you're wondering, where is this coming from? He said, "Na like him, okay?" They tell you. Kylo, you know, but one thing, there was one in my school days, there was this particular guy. He's fine. Fearfully made. And I didn't know, if you see the kind of girls he was rolling with, the guy had a crazy esteem. Very small looking. English is rubbish. God can't speak well. He'll be telling you, "Nelapoku guy, I can't." Kailua now, and you know, be wondering this girl. You think the girls will not agree? They will agree. They are not falling for him. They are falling for his esteem. It's because you've swallowed up your esteem. The one girl leaves you, it's like your whole life wants to collapse. You know, sometimes you say, "If this guy leaves me, I'm going to die." Don't say that. You're not going to die. It's not your life. Build your esteem. What did the word of God say concerning you? God said you're righteous. God said he has accepted you. Let that be your esteem. Ever that thing may fail, that one is constant. Your esteem should not be found on the fact that you are slim. You can get fat tomorrow. And fatness is coming your way, but you don't know. You can get fat tomorrow. And if your esteem has come from the fact that you are very slim and you have shape, what if you lose the shape? Because I see you losing it. It's how it's going to happen. You're going to have children in Jesus' name. And when you have children in Jesus' name, your stomach is going to come out in Jesus' name. And there are things that happen. And therefore, you know, you lose the whole esteem you've gathered. And so you now see your guy with another girl, a younger girl, because she is slimmer and has more curves. You are feeling very terrible. I didn't get the point. Build your esteem. Have a healthy Christ esteem. What is Christ's esteem? It's an esteem found on what Christ has done for you. For instance, I know that God loves me. I know he has accepted me. I know he thinks I'm good. And if God thinks I'm good, I don't care about your opinion. I'm not just saying this because I'm preaching. That is just me. There is no human being that can leave me and I will die. No. No. I'm not giving birth to that person. It will never happen. And if that is you, what if that girl dies? You die and follow her. People must leave you in this life. Have an esteem and let to kill your insecurities by building a healthy Christ esteem. I didn't get the point. That way you fall for somebody, the person breaks your heart and decides to go. Now you're not going to start rejoicing and say glory to God. No, you're just going to be very hot and all that. Then after some time, you stand up and you pick up. Do you know some people, and I'm saying this by the Spirit, the reason you've not been productive in some areas of your life is because of one breakup that happened some time ago. You just keep sulking and sulking. Then that guy, man, I'm over it. Oh. You are over it and you're always talking about it. If I want sign that you're not over it, that you're talking about it. That's one sign. Because your life will always travel in the direction of your words. I didn't get the point. You don't keep saying that guy, that relationship, it killed me. It did. Stop. He has left you. He has moved on. He has moved on. Even if he has not moved on, he has gone. You must go to the point, build your esteem. That's not your esteem. You know why sometimes you think of a guy leaving you, you feel you are going to die? It's because that guy means more to you than a boyfriend. He means more. Sometimes he's your esteem. Do you know why some guys pursue some girls for 1 year, 2 years, 3 years? They're no longer pursuing the girl, they're pursuing their esteem. It means I don't know if you get this girl. You know that kind of thing. So they continue until the girl falls. Now, why will it be? It's a guy. Let me. I don't know for you. Say it's love. See, let me tell you. Don't be stupid. A girl, you check it. You follow a girl for one full year. The girl bullshits you. Second year, the girl told you I see that. Will you get out of that place? You don't have value. You don't like yourself. You don't have value for yourself. 1 year, 2 years. I see follow. You say, "Oh, come on." You see that the girl does not really, really like you. Sincerely. You not think you make more money and come back, she doesn't still like you. It doesn't mean, my point is, it doesn't mean you are bad. I don't get the point. Having good esteem, it doesn't mean you're a bad person. So all these securities come because we have a very terribly damaged esteem. Believe what the word says concerning you. Okay? Believe in yourself what the word says concerning you. Then no one's opinion or dumping you will break you. So all these securities should go. How do you deal with it? Have a good esteem. Find your esteem on the word of God. How many of you know God loves you? Now, do you know, like you know it? Okay, how many of you know God can never be tired of you? You can never piss God off. How many of you know that? God can never say, see, I'm done. Oh, I've been trying to say this. You don't. No matter how bad you are, God is sticking with you. That's why anybody that lives should go. So kill your insecurities. I get the point. If you don't kill it, date anybody tomorrow is going to damage your relationship. It's going to bring it down. Kill your insecurities. Kill the fears, the insecurities. What if he leaves me? What if he doesn't leave you? Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh. Fears. I'm going to touch some other things. Let me continue. Another major fear people have, I just keep something now, is the fear of choosing right. How am I sure this is Mr. Right? How many of you have that kind of fear too? Yeah, I know it's here. Almost every single has this fear of, what if I miss it? What if I don't choose the right person? Because when you make a mistake in marriage, it's over for you, right? It's true. It's true. But let me say this to you, friends. If you want to be able to choose right, you must know what the word of God says. For instance, I've kept saying, how many of you know there is no single missing rib prepared for you? There's no missing rib anywhere. And sister, you're not anybody's missing rib. You're not a rib, actually. Are you? That's the first thing. Because people think there's a missing rib. So I must find that missing rib. What if that person dies? Well, what if the missing rib has died? Eh? God will create another missing rib. Don't you think if your missing rib dies and you marry another person, you've married someone else's missing rib? So we've mixed up. What if somebody has married your missing rib now? I'm suspecting somebody has married your missing rib. Oh, there is no missing rib anywhere. What I'm trying to say is that there is no particular person God created and said, see, if you don't marry this girl, you are dead. No. There's no one like that. So all this fear of, let me find the miss, the right person. I'm talking to somebody, I'm saying this by the Spirit. There is someone, there's a relationship you left, and this person has been, or something has been making you feel that you've left the major person you're supposed to marry. So life will not be good for you. See, it's a lie. Big lie. Stop thinking like that. It's a devil talking to you, and it's going to leverage on that to damage other relationships that are coming in the future. The Bible never teaches that kind of thing once. But the Bible teaches in 1 Corinthians that when a woman's husband dies, that she is at liberty to marry another person she wants. So if the Bible allows one woman to marry two men in her in one lifetime, it shows that there is actually no particular person prepared for her. Are you what I'm talking about? There's no particular person. And so what does that tell you? This fear of let me meet that major person should go. Okay, then if you want to choose right, the simple thing I've always said is, stay with what the word of God says. Start from there. What did the Bible say, for instance? You should not be unequally yoked to an unbeliever. I can never compromise this one. If someone is not saved, the person is not saved. Don't date the person. If you're dating the person now, break up with the person you are doing the right thing. You cannot be a believer. You know, the Bible said you cannot be unequally yoked to an unbeliever. And let me take it a step further, like I always do. Even if the person is saved, he has said, Jesus, come into my heart, be my Lord and my Savior. But he doesn't have any seriousness with his life, with his spiritual life. He doesn't care about spiritual things. Listen, you are still dating an unbeliever. You get the point? In disguise. What do I mean by that? A believer that is not growing spiritually, we'll be thinking like an unbeliever. You know that, right? They'll be acting the same way. You meet a believer, he says, yes, Jesus is coming to my heart, but he's not committed to his growth. He doesn't even care about spiritual things. He will still be doing things like an unbeliever. He'll be doing exactly the same way an unbeliever will. So you don't date with the Bible teaches. You know, there are some people, I was showing you last time, there are some people the Bible warned you must stay away from. But the Bible said if someone is not saved, stay away from the person. The Bible said if someone has a wrong doctrine, evil communication corrupts good manners. Anybody that the Bible says you should stay away from, you should know you should not even date that person. Do you get the point? Someone has a very loose moral. He's born again, but doesn't really care about anything spiritual. You should not. In fact, if you are dating that person, no matter how loving and caring that person is, it's an unequal yoke. Do you get the point? It's like trying to fix a square peg in a round hole. It can never fit. So choosing right has to start from choosing within the boundaries of what the Word of God said. So if you are dating someone, and the person has nothing to do with church, or is not growing spiritually, is an unserious believer, you might have to slow down first. You might get into trouble. But let me say this. This idea of people getting serious with God because of you. Now, I'm not saying it cannot happen. It happens. It happens. But listen, when it happens, don't be in a hurry to rejoice. Give it time. Time will reveal everything. I guess what I'm saying. Someone has not been going to church, just came into his life, say, okay, fine, it's in your church, let's be going. Now, it can happen. I've seen it happen a couple of times. And it's a beautiful thing if it does. That you got someone to become serious. But then, give it time. Make sure that the person is actually committed to his growth and not committed to you. Okay? So that when you live his life, or you live her life, she will still be growing. And so, you stay with the balance of the Word of God first. But what of God said, don't marry an unbeliever. What of God said, don't. All those things the Bible said, stay away from this person, stay away from this person. You stay away from that. Now, that's the first step in choosing right first. Now, when you've stayed within the boundaries of the Word of God, we can now begin to check things like, do you love the person? Praise God. You know, you marry someone you love, right? Love is not enough, but love is needed. So, do you love the person? Are you guys compatible? It doesn't mean that every believer out there that is serious with God is supposed to marry you. That's not what it means. If I let me show you what relationship, what it is like in the market. You go to the market, there is a shoe, that there are shoes everywhere. That is, and your size actually is size 45. Now, we are not going to force you to choose brown or blue or white or black. Okay? You are at liberty to choose anyone you want, but within the boundaries of size 45. Do you understand the point? So God gives you boundaries, but within that boundary, he allows you to make your choice. So for the Israelites, he will tell them, make sure you don't marry outside the tribe of Israel. But then, within the tribe of Israel, you can make your choice and go whatever you want. And so once you have someone that agrees with the Word of God, for instance, everything the Word of God has to say, and then you love the person, you guys can flow. You are possibly not making the wrong choice. The only thing remaining is to give it time. Are you getting what I'm saying? Did you get what I said? If you marry someone that the spec and everything agrees with the Word of God, everything, Bible said, he must be this, must be that, and then you find all those things, they agree. Okay? And then you love him, and he loves you, and then you guys, what happens to compatible again? What is compatibility? What is compatibility? Brahmana. Okay, Stojima knows the answer. What is compatibility, ma? Let's join together. Okay, you guys are compatible. It means you guys can flow, you guys can connect. Of course, you know, it doesn't mean anybody that is born again and is spiritually growing and flowing in the Spirit that you guys have something together. Okay, once you find that, then you are possibly not making the wrong choice. The only thing remaining is time, which is why I always insist, don't be in a hurry to jump into a serious relationship. Don't be in a hurry. When someone starts coming around and starts saying, I love you, see, and take it easy. Hold on. Except you want to have 5x before you get married.
My ex. 5x times Y. Because don't be like that. So you find somebody, give it time. You know, time proves all things. You know that, you know, right? Time will prove a lot of things. Time will reveal whether the person is pretending or not. Time will reveal whether the person is lying. Time will reveal whether the person really, really, really loves you or is just acting. Time will reveal whether the person's commitment to God is fake or real. Time will reveal all those things. And so he says, sir, let me be dating him. I will not be checking. No. If you date him, that's the mistake some of you make. If you are dating him and you are now checking whether it is good, what if you now find out it's not good? You now break up. You know the problem with that? Something has been damaged within you. You've had a bad experience that you possibly carry over to your next relationship. Are you getting the point? So to avoid all those multiple experiences where someone loves and you love the person, you guys can actually, the person meets every spec. I'm not saying you're with one unbeliever. You guys are just playing. Meet every spec. You guys should give things time. Actually, what I do, some of my daughters and sons that are very close to me, you are in love with somebody and you come and meet me. You know what to do now? What? For how long? 3 months. You know me very well. I will keep you praying for 3 months. You say, why will you suffer my life like that? What's there? I'm in love. I want to express it. I'm trying to save you. I'm trying to save you. If marriage is really for a lifetime, it shouldn't be bad praying for 3 months. Don't you think so? If marriage is for a lifetime, it's not a sin. 3 months is even small. And after praying for that 3 months, when you now come, that you now want to marry, you guys now want to marry, I will send you back for another 3 months. Yeah. Ask people that have passed through, to, I will deal with your life. You see, you cannot make a mistake and I'll be watching you. I'll send you back to go and pray again. Anybody know that he's dating now under me and I'm aware of the relationship? Ask them. Some of them say you love Ashe. Fine, people should just be friends for now. Sometimes some of them stayed friends for now for 1 year. That would delay your life. Well, that, I'm not that bad. All I'm trying to say is, it's okay to give things time. One challenge our generation has is that we are in a hurry. Guys, especially when it comes to emotional matters, I want to check you today and hear from you today. Say, what's keeping us? You love me and I love you. Just say yes. Let's get this ball rolling. Calm down. You've forgotten that was how the other girl told you yes. After like 2 months, you'll be like, is that how you are? So calm down. You know, and I'm a guy too. It happens to me. Sometimes, why are you wasting my time? I just say something. I can see it in your eyes. I know you feel it. So let's stop pretending. Let's be real. I know you feel this stuff. See, let me tell you. No matter how he's doing you, try to hold yourself together. It doesn't mean you guys will not be talking. But you see, commitment, don't be in a hurry. Because why are you doing this 3 months, 3 months? I'll tell you why. If you insist and start dating without a prayer, I will not complain. I'm not even be angry with you. But what it means is, you will never break up. Not on my watch. I will bind both of you. Anytime you want to, you are not separating. You will date that person and marry her. Get point. Onye kwataronko aho. So he wants anything. It's okay. Just date who you want to date. But I'll monitor you. I'll make sure every day I'll call both of you for counseling. I'll be, how are people doing? Says, I don't feel it again. I say, no. Receive the feeling in Jesus. Very well. So this fear of choosing the wrong person can be removed in just staying with what the word of God has to say. And then giving things time. When you give things time will reveal a lot of things. Do you know some of the terrible relationships entered? If you had given it just 1 month, you would have seen everything. Two of us would have seen. If I had just given it just 1 month before you just said yes, you would have seen all those things you noticed.
The person did not just change overnight. No, you just started seeing it overnight. But that at first love was just seeing you anyhow, cover your eye, and you don't see it. So all these fears of choosing right. Choosing right. Another question on that, this fear of choosing right. One particular question. Somebody asked, how do I somebody asked, is there a particular time to be married? What do you think? Say your mind. What do you think? A particular time? You are saying yes, say it well. Is it a particular time? Believe there's a particular time, Shay. What time is that? 30 years for a guy. Let me say, show you something in the Bible. How many of you know Isaac got married at the age of 40? Do you know? You're canceling it. Stay with the word. Amen. Now, the Bible did not answer any of such questions. You can choose when you want. What actually causes this thing in society? You know, for instance, here in Igboland, if a girl is done with school and is 23, 24, what is she still doing in her father's house? That is just culture. The Bible has no answer. But you know, is there any Yoruba person here? Is there anybody from any Yoruba person here? Most of their ladies can stay till 25, 26 and are not married. And there is no much pressure on them. You get the point? But you see, this is Boland. 22 years. Then I ask you, I want to come back from school. I want us to talk. Any day here, I want us to talk. You know what it is. Now come and sit down. I say, Kevin, how is school? I say, fine. I say, okay. I'm not trying to push you, but is there anybody? And the reason is like that is just because of society. Well, let me advise you. Don't fall for that pressure. Actually, I'm an advocate of early marriage. If you can marry early, please do. Do you get the point? Once you found the lady and you have a roof over your head for guys and you can feed yourself and feed another person, get married. Do you understand? I'm an advocate of early marriage. Just that our generation has made it difficult for guys to marry on time. Because no girl wants to marry a guy that have not blow. So the guy is waiting to blow, but I'm advocate of early marriage generally. But the Bible doesn't say, and for you, the lady, if a guy is coming, he meets the requirement, and as a release in your spirit, man, please marry on time. There are a lot of advantages when you get married on time, a lot of them. Okay? By the time you get married on time, before 32, 33, you are done having your kids. And you're growing up with them. Do you understand the point? But you see, never come under that pressure. If you come under that pressure, just like what you said, 30 years, it might be you can set targets for yourself, but don't be enslaved by the targets. If not, at 29, you're already under pressure. 1 year will be 30. No girl. No money. No house. The next, you'll not be looking for anywhere belly face. Any girl, let's just marry anybody. Because you're trying to beat a target. You get the point? Some people marry at 21. They divorce at 22. You get the point? So don't be under that kind of pressure. No time is bad. No time is good. It all depends on culture and family too. Family. Some families believe that a lady should at least have a master's before she's married. Some others believe that once you drop your WAEC pen, I'm telling you, you should marry. The others say if they try to train you, you go to no university, you now say, mommy, I want to my master, say in whose house? But don't come under that kind of pressure. Please avoid it. And it used to be for the ladies alone, but now it's on the guys too. Guys are under pressure to marry. And how you know is once you are done with school and you graduate, every Saturday your mates are getting married. Every Saturday. And they've been putting you, say you're a girl, you've gone for 25 as a beast. Every day, Saturday after Saturday, I'm doing a service for different people. You know, don't go under that kind of pressure. You don't know what to do, stay off social media. You get the point? If you don't know what to do, stay on social media. Don't come under that kind of pressure. If you now fall into it and then you got married, hey, let me tell you, after a wedding day, we'll all go back to our houses. And you will live with the man. My wedding gift will be a first aid box. You don't get it? So that anything that happens, you can at least treat yourself. Because they will deal with you in that marriage. Don't come under that kind of pressure. Okay, so another question somebody asked under this choosing right is, how do I meet the person? Now, some people recommend that you should be going out more to meet someone. That, is it true? Well, let me answer you. There is no particular way you meet a spouse. You can meet the person anywhere. I don't like saying this, but even on Facebook, you can meet the person. But if it is foolishness to meet someone on Facebook and start dating the person on Facebook, hey God, hey, come, it will end on Facebook. It will end on Facebook. So you can meet the person, you can meet anyhow, if you just meet. But when, so there's no particular way as to how you're going to meet. You can meet the person anywhere. But then, should you be going out? Of course, there are scriptures like, you find, but is there a place for being rightly positioned? Yes. Being in the right place at the right time. But you see, the problem I have with this question is, that's why I singled it out. Most people that say, if you want to get married, you cannot lock yourself inside and you want to get married, you should be going out. All they are trying to tell you is, go to party, go to club, hang out in beer parlors. I don't get the point. Sometimes prepare in the afternoon, carry your bag, and go and sit by the poolside, drinking. In our toilet, you're not doing anything. Then one guy will now come and say, what's a beautiful girl doing sitting up by herself? You know, say, please, I want to be alone. No, you don't want to be alone, my sister. You came for something. Now, listen. So it's good to be going out, actually. But the question is, do you really want to marry a kind of guy you meet at the club? So define your going out. Don't be locked up inside your house. Coming out, go to church, go to meetings, be focused and do your thing. The most possible thing is that wherever you are, your guy will find you there. And your lady will find you there. That's the truth. Adam did not have to be going all over the place. He was in one garden. They brought Eve to him. Hallelujah. And so you should go out really, but the question is where? I hope going out to you does not mean going from bar to bar, club to club, party to party, because you are looking for your missing rib. He's not there. Get the point? He's possibly in platform of grace, but you don't know. So just be in church all the time. Hallelujah. Be in your cell meeting. Be where you're supposed to be. But then the final thing I'm going to say on choosing right is, please forget everything I've said today, but don't forget this. Trust God. Trust God to give you the best. What is your confidence tomorrow that your marriage is going to be good? I trust God. He will give me the best. How many of you know God is going to give you the best? The best. The best. You know, I normally tell this story. Okay, round up now. I normally tell this story. A particular young girl was, I've told this to you a couple of times, but she was fighting on her status. I can, if I buy property, I'll buy it in my name. Even if I'm married, I'll not buy it in his name. It's my property. After all, he did not buy his own in my name. Okay, so she was fighting. So nobody was fighting with her. You know, that time you're arguing with yourself. She would write the next slide with on a serious note. Why should I even buy a property? Now, after she finished, I shouted out, sister, what's the problem? He said, these guys, And I said, don't you think that when you get married, that you don't have a name again? Your husband doesn't have a name again. His name is now your name. That's why we call him Mr. and Mrs. Henry. Do you get the point? It means both of you. Do you get the point? She said, I don't care. My name is my name. His name is his name. I said, tell me, why are you saying this? He said, I've seen people, one of my aunties, she bought properties in the guy's name. Now, she doesn't even have access to those properties. You know such men exist. Eh? There are callous men. There are men that have trouble. But then I asked the equation. After she finished talking, I said, I've seen such things. And I said, but don't you also think you can find a man that will just buy a property, that will even buy a property in your own name? He said, that's castle. And I said, why is it that whenever you think about marriage, you always think of marrying the wrong person? Why do you always think of marrying the person that will match on your head? No man can match. Who wants to match on your head right now? Why are you always thinking of marrying the guy that will take the property? Why don't you think of marrying? I said, well, it's true, Sha. I said, that's the point. I want to challenge you to change your mindset, to begin to trust God to give you the best. Okay? I trust God for the best. I believe God for the best. And you're going to have the best. Praise God. So the fear of choosing right should go. Once you do it within the boundaries of what God says should be done, you can never make a mistake following God. Never. You can't. Let me rush this. The next fear people have in marriage, this one is very important, is infidelity. What if he cheats on me? What if she cheats on me? So who cheats more? Guys or ladies? Eh? Is it girls? But who cheats more? Huh? Well. Everybody cheats. Now the question is, how do I deal? Some people are not dating today because they're scared. Everything I've mentioned since morning are the reasons why some people don't want to date or why they're even scared in their relationship. Some don't want to get married because they're insecure. Some don't want to get married because they're scared of commitment. Some don't want to get married because they don't want to make a mistake. Some don't want to get married because they're scared of infidelity. What if I date him and he cheats on me? What if I marry him and he cheats on me? Well, let me answer the question. To deal with this matter, please date who you trust. He said, no, the Bible said trust nobody. Which Bible said? That trust nobody is not scriptural. You should trust some people. Hallelujah. But the only thing is, remember that trust is built over time. I hope you know. You cannot meet someone in 2 weeks and say, I just trust him. There's just something that I'm just comfortable around him. See, that is a feeling. Date someone that, or when I, of course, I'm being loose with the word date. Okay? This word date actually means courtship. I'm not saying, it's not that additional definition of dating. You understand? It's not play. So date someone that you really, really trust. That the trust has been built over time. Then the question is, so what if he now cheats on me? Let me give you an answer. Decide to forgive. You see, marriages that have lasted for 50 years, they are not between two perfect people. They are between two perfect forgivers. You get the point? That between two perfect people who forgive themselves. Some of you will learn this when you want to get married. And your mom will sit you down and tell you some things that your dad did to her. I didn't get the point. Two people that are ready to forgive themselves to make a perfect marriage. That's all this fear. What if he cheats on me? What if you are the one that will cheat on him? He said, no, I cannot do it. You know yourself. We both know you. What if? What would you expect him to do when you cheat on him? You want him to forgive you, right? Huh? You want him to forgive you? Then reciprocate the same thing. Now, cheating is something that should not be heard of in the church. It should not be heard of. This infidelity, it should not be mentioned. Well, it's not in the character of saints at all. It should not be heard of. But then, it happens. That's the truth. You must decide that you are going to forgive. You are going to forgive. You're going to forgive. You're going to be a forgiving person. Develop forgiveness. I normally say, learn to forgive people in advance. When people come for me to counsel them before marriage, I always ask this question. What is the highest thing your guy will do to you and you will never forgive him? And 70% of the ladies always say, if he cheats on me. Do we run the test? What is the highest thing a guy will do and that will be it for you? If cheating is it, let me see your hand. Just raise it. No, I'm just doing a test. Okay, if he beats you, uncle. If he cheats on you. Okay, he can cheat. The truth of the matter is, physical abuse is another different topic. I don't have that for you today. You beat my daughter in your house. Run away. Leave this country. Travel. Don't come back. I will terrorize you. I'll follow you with police, soldiers, civil defense, road safety, everything. You are not serious. But because physical abuse is another different thing. Why is it different cases? It's somebody that is alive that makes relationship to work. If they beat you and beat you and they kill you, you can no longer make it work. Do you understand the point? So when the beating happens once, you can call it a mistake. If it happens the second time, you can call it coincidence. If it happens a third time, no, it's a problem. Even say this, you are dating a guy and he has once raised his hand and just scratched your chin like he's angry. Must he leave that guy? Until he proves, let me tell you something. Most of these people suffer in marriage, they've seen it before they got married. Say, well, just angry, just slapped me, just once. He's not done it again since then. Don't worry. Why should he even beat a woman? Why? Come, let's fight. Yeah, come and prove your strength where there are guys, you know, that will beat you up. Don't mind trying to beat, and ladies now beat guys too. No, funny enough, because guys will not say it. Because you can't even say it. They say, what happened? Say, nothing. I slipped and I fell. And I hit my... You can't say it. I just say, no, it's okay. It's a home accident. I was in the bedroom and I fell and then... Let me tell you, violence has never helped any marriage. And most... I don't know why I'm happy to say this. Most physical violence starts from verbal abuse. If an relationship, you would always insult yourself. Idiot! Idiot! Nonsense man, that is getting towards physical abuse. You can know a man that will beat you in your relationship. It's very easy. Any man that gets angry and begins to abuse you is going to beat you one day in your relationship. Have you said you're a fool? Nonsense. Get out. Oh, how can you get angry and talking to your woman or talking to your man like that? But your father told me something. He said there was a girl. He said the girl called him. He said an idiot. He said that was the end of the relationship. Idiot, me. No, now, where did you get it from? Me, an idiot. You can't do it. You do it, we are over. Go home. You're a fool. Me. Oh, this is me. And this is you. So, physical abuse is a different matter. It starts from verbal abuse. But I'm saying when it comes to the case of infidelity, decide that it shouldn't happen. But if it happens, you are going to forgive. If there is physical abuse, be ready to forgive, but forgive and leave the house. Not divorce, okay? Leave the house for some time so that the matter can be resolved properly. Because if you sit back there and they kill you, you forgive him and you still die. You understand the point? You get the point? But then decide that you're going to forgive. Let me close with this infidelity thing by saying, not like close the message. Let me close the infidelity thing by saying, you see, when it comes to issues about infidelity, why don't always nurse the feeling or the mindset that everybody is going to cheat on you? Do you hear what I said? You know, some people believe that, when I was talking to some guys, some people believe that girls will always cheat. Do you know that some guys believe that almost every girl is cheating? Some guys believe that. Believe that mindset. Don't always believe, because what you believe will obviously come to you. And girls don't believe that guys will always cheat. Somebody said, I saw it on Facebook, said, I'm going to marry a very rich and wealthy guy. He said, because whether they are rich or they are poor, they will still cheat. So since I know they will cheat whether they are rich or they are poor, I'll marry the rich one. So that at least if he's cheating, I'll be gaining something. That's nonsense. And you see the person is talking like that, she will surely marry a guy that cheats on her. It's the heart that's attracting it. Remember the series you are running, right? The raging warfare. It's her, instead of her mind, will finally attract that kind of demon she's talking about. So infidelity happens, but should not be heard of in the church. Marry someone you trust and decide to forgive and stop expecting it. Two more things on these fears, and I'll take your questions. Another fear, another question people sent, a lot of questions came on parental consent, particularly about tribe. There was a question on tribe. There was a question on money too. My dad doesn't want me to marry him because he's not boxed up. Who has ever experienced tribal issue here with marriage? Anybody? Have your parents ever said no because the person, not for you particularly, maybe your sibling, has it ever happened to you? Your friend? Okay. And they say because it's from a particular place. What state was that? A particular community in the same, a particular town in the same community. Wow. What tribe was that? Osun State. Because he was Osun or because he is Yoruba? Yoruba. Okay, and the person is Igbo. Any other person? Which state? Hausa land. Okay. Okay. What? Eh? Imo State. Okay. Now let me, before we get to your parents, let me address, before we get to your parents, notice my teaching today doesn't have any particular direction. I'm just answering questions. Before we get to your parents, tell me sincerely, is there any tribe you cannot marry from? So it's not your parents that we should talk to. It's you. Can I take like three persons? Will you be able to tell me why you cannot marry from a particular place? If you can talk, just let's have it. Okay, one person, another person. I want to pick three. I've seen one. Another person. Two. Another person. Get the mic. Get the mic. Another person. Just tell me why. Don't be too spiritual here. Just tell me why. Another person. Okay, let's hear from you first. Uh-huh. Tell us where you cannot marry from and why. So that if a girl here is from there, they can begin to avoid it immediately. Okay, let's hear from you.
Alright, actually, in my side, in Suka, there are actually villages that are known for their diabolic acts.
Okay.
It's well known there, and the probability that you are going to fall into shapes when you venture to marry from there is very high.
Okay.
For instance, if you are from Suka, you are marrying from Amala. Sorry, if you are from then local government,
okay.
You're marrying from Amala,
okay.
You're messing up. If you're marrying from Enugu-Ezike as well, you're messing up. And again, excuse me, I won't lie to you.
That's an opinion anyway. I'm gonna address
it. It's my own opinion actually.
Okay.
I'm from Opi Nsukka.
Okay.
Then I don't advise any guy to marry from Opi.
Ah.
They are girls. Are very diabolic.
Your sister.
And except you are marrying someone that didn't grow there.
Oh, wow.
But when you are marrying someone that grew up,
okay.
Chances of falling into a witch's hand is very high.
It's very high. Okay.
Again, if you are marrying a girl from Oba, they are going to trample on your right hand.
Suka has finished now. Okay, fine. Let's get to Precious. Okay. Okay, Precious, right? Okay. Yeah.
Praise God.
Okay.
Okay. General in our house.
You now.
Okay. Maybe because they believe that, and then I was now checking.
Okay.
And then I found out it's true. Anyways, guys, they cannot take care of ladies.
Okay.
It's not like I'm condemning. My grandmoms from Enugu-Ezike. Somehow I'm related to Enugu-Ezike, but
okay,
just
so
that they are guys.
They cannot take care of him.
Yes.
Okay. Very well. So another person. Okay, just one person more.
Praise God.
Okay.
For me, I cannot marry any tribe that is not Igbo. because I cannot marry to somewhere that they will be speaking some language like that. I don't know.
Okay. Well, let me address this. I just did this to tell you that. We want to say something? Which tribe is that? Come, get the mic for him. Okay, where is that?
Okay. It's actually, yes, America.
Where?
America. Like, outside Nigeria.
Outside Nigeria. Come on, remember that. Okay, well, you can't marry brothers outside this country. Okay, but any other place outside that is in this country, you can deal with it.
And I think Imo State also. Imo State.
Are you not scared of poverty? Is it that you are scared that you will not have money to pay the bad price?
It's not like I don't have money, but.
Okay, very well. Okay, fine. Praise God. Let me tell you this thing. You see, in Christ Jesus. Now listen to this. If you don't get what I'm going to say now very correctly, you have issues. In Christ Jesus, it's not just what the Bible said. There is no Jew nor Gentile. Tribes don't count. And until you settle this in your head, you are going to get into trouble. Now, different communities have different things that are known for. And like you were saying, you can remember from some places. And I not mentioned your community too. Because I wanted to still show you that every community have their own problem. You get the point? You that don't want to marry from someone's community, somebody don't want to come from your community too. Now, you must deal with this tribal thing. It will not help you as a minister, in missions, in ministry, and even in life and marriage. The truth of the matter is that some people behave somehow, some communities. And it's not because it is in their gene. That's what I wanted to see. It's not in anybody's gene to behave in any particular way. There's no gene that carries diabolism. It's just that the way they were trained and the way they grew up, it has influenced them. Now, that same way, that person can also come into Christ, and his or her exposure to Christ will change everything about him. So before you say, so I cannot say I come out from any tribe. Now, I can tell you I don't like this thing about this tribe. Now, if I meet anybody from there, I'm going to check to see if what they're complaining about is in the person. If it's not there, then we'll go ahead and get married. I didn't get the point. Because there is no tribe that does not have issues. Call any states, I'll tell you something about them. You know, some people believe that Enugu girls are generally naive. Go out there, that's what they believe. The Enugu girls are generally naive and understand. It's true. Yeah. To understand, it's true. So that you can't just generalize and say, I'm not going to marry here. I'm not going to marry here. No, you can't do that. My spiritual father taught this in different ways. Apart from the fact that he married a Yoruba lady anyway because he's Yoruba. But he gave his daughter an Igbo name. The daughter's name is Adanna. And he said, both of them are Yoruba parents. To show that, you see, this thing we're doing in Christ, there is nothing like, I'm Jew, I'm Gentile, I'm from there. You better kill it. Because the reason why it's an issue in your home is because it's still an issue in your head. In Christ Jesus, there is no, the only place you are permitted not to marry from is outside Christ. If this thing has not entered you, what you need is spiritual growth. You need to grow to a point where you begin to see everybody like he is in Christ. I get the point. You know, in Christ, you are all from the same place, from the same city, from the same community. That is the sincere truth. And if you don't yet see it like that, that's why your parents will still give you issues. Are you getting me? What you don't realize is that sometimes there are, it's just like you just mentioned, what state? You mentioned Imo State. There are nice people from Imo State. In fact, I'm of the opinion that Imo has the finest ladies in Igbo land. It's my opinion. I am of the opinion. Amen. It's my opinion. I have very nice women. And imagine when such a beautiful lady now comes into Christ and is now growing spiritually and is now doing ministry and is now on fire for God. So what are you waiting for? Just grab your cup immediately. And talking about diabolism, now I'm going to say this. If I marry into your family are diabolic, you are finished. You, not me. Unless the girl is diabolic. The girl is a believer, she's a believer, she's growing, she's a believer, she's a minister. We will end that diabolism there. We'll end it. That is not a problem. Witchcraft is what? Me that I used to pray in the night and witches cannot come. What's that one? No, leave that. That is not a problem. If you focus your attention on tribes, and the question was about family. What if my mom or my dad says you can marry from this place? But the first thing is you should settle it in your head. That in Christ, you say you cannot marry from outside Nigeria. Why? You see, there are nice people outside this country. You have reasons. Your reasons cannot stand up to the reasons found in the Word of God. They can't. There is no reason good enough. Except you don't like the person. Okay, I just don't like this person. It's a different case. But you know, you better start accept what I'm saying, because you might now travel to Lagos or to Abuja or to somewhere, or you travel abroad to do something, and you now fall in love with someone. You don't even know. It did not cross your mind to ask her where she's from. You guys are now loving. One day, I say, where are you from, sir? He said, I'm from Enugu State. Say, Enugu State. We are in Enugu State. He said, somewhere around Udenu. He said, Udenu, we are the central government. Where? It's Amala. And your heart has gone. Hallelujah. What I'm trying to say is, you must come to a point where you see. Now, when I'm saying this, because the reason why it's an issue from parents is that sometimes you believe that too. If you grew up believing that this particular tribe is like this, you know, amazingly, people that believe that this particular tribe is like this, they don't also know that their own community have a problem. What if that girl you don't want to marry, or you now want to marry? Imagine you say, I will not marry from Imo, I will not marry from Abia, I will not marry from here. You now finally find somebody you want to marry. And the person now says, I don't want to marry from your place. You're going to be hurt. Praise God. To deal with this issue. Now, coming to parents, when you've dealt with the issue, please start saying it to your house on time. Even if a man comes, start chipping it in. That's you. And this idea of Osu and Oh, whatever. I hope nobody is thinking like that. Outcast or no outcast. You see, that thing is total nonsense. In Christ, nobody is an outcast. Outward, nobody can be like that. Nobody is a slave. Hallelujah. Not here. Not here. In fact, who is an Osu again? Eh? A child of the gods. Then we all are Osu now. We are children of God. Let's leave all these things. Leave all these things. And so, but start saying it to your, you know, start setting the standard of your house on time. Anybody will come, oh, I'm not really into tribe. Start saying it on time so that before the man or the woman even comes, it has already entered into the head of your people. Start chipping it in. It's not like you have anybody, but start setting the standard on time. And when it finally happens, like I said the last time, please don't fight your parents. Don't fight them. The reason you don't fight them is because some of them have genuineness of saying what they're saying. They have genuine. They've seen things. I didn't get a point. They've seen things. Don't fight them. Sometimes you've seen people married from some places. Just like there's a state I want to mention here that you guys mentioned. Hey, God. I've seen things. If not that I'm trying to tell my man with the word of God, I've seen this in that state too. Very promiscuous states. Every girl, Anchani in and Abani, is one by one. Now, where your mother, your father, who is not really exposed to the light you have, now have seen all these things in all her 50-something years. Now, if you bring somebody and she says no, don't fight. I didn't get the point. Don't see it like she hates you. What do you do? I always say, pray first. The first response should be that you pray. Pray and pray. Over time, you keep praying. Then secondly, I always teach mediation. I handled it last time, remember? I mentioned it last time. Mediation means, think of an uncle or an aunt who you can talk to and convince that can talk to your parents and they will listen. I didn't get the point. Think of a pastor. Mediate. If it doesn't work, give it time. Continue praying, continue mediating, continue talking to them, continue praying, but give it time. Don't fight your parents. They are fighting for a genuine cause. They love you right, but then they are not showing it the right way. They think that they want the best for you. Of course they do, but what I give you is not really the best. So you insist, and please, while you are insisting, make sure that the issues that are raising are not true. Do you understand what I said? When they say people from this community, they always behave like this, make sure that love is not blinding you. Make sure that that lady or that guy is not like that. Do you get what I said now? Somebody said people from a particular tribe don't know how to take care of their women. I'm not from there, okay? We take care of our women where I come from. But then when your parents begin to raise that kind of issue, begin to look very closely. Is it really true? Don't be blinded. I don't get the point. Because they really care about you. But when you find out that these claims are baseless, you take to prayer, you convince them, and you insist, and you get what you want. Now, if it's about money, that the guy doesn't have money, well, I don't blame your parents. They know what they suffered in their marriage. Do you get the point? I don't really blame them. I'm not saying they're right, but I don't blame them. And that's why you shouldn't fight them. But then make sure that before you start fighting your parents over a guy, that he has money, he has money, make sure that he has a job or something doing that can sustain you people. Don't marry, I'm planning to. I always say this. Don't marry, I have plans. I have plans. It's a good thing, plans. If someone has had plans for the past 5 years, that's not executed one. So I'm working on it. He will shock you. Don't shock me. So make sure that I raise him. But when you find out, but I'm not saying you should wait for a man to become a millionaire. That's even a terrible thing. I always say when you want to marry a man that has blown and has made it, the danger is that he might just acquire you as another property. Do you get the point? The same way he bought his car, he bought his house, he will buy you too. You are not part of the process at all. And this is one reason why in Igbo land, it's not a good thing, but I'm just telling you, it's one reason why in Igbo land, a man is going to die. And the brothers of the man will come and insist to talk about everything. You know why? The woman was never part of the process. I didn't get the point. Think of your brother now. He's hustling on his own. He might even lose one of his hands in the whole hustle and all that. And finally develop high BP as he was hustling. Now he blows and becomes a millionaire and now marries one girl from nowhere who doesn't even have a job. And then 2 years later, the guy dies. And then she will not carry everything. Well, you have to lack. Is that enough? But I'm saying the all renewed mind generally. Do you get the point? Will say no. That's why don't even be so much in a hurry to marry a guy that has blown, that has made it. You are just another property he acquired. No difference. And so you listen to what your parents say and give it time, pray, and mediate. Now, the second to the last question came on sexual matters. Sexual matters. The first question on that was addressing how do I maintain purity in my relationship? How do I have a relationship where there is no sex, there is no this and that? Is it possible? Very, very possible. If you think it's not possible, then you just need to renew your mind. Now, and there are some specific questions that came, okay? But I don't want to read them out because they're very personal questions. If I read them out, I might know who sent it. So, but then, the question I'm going to ask, you want to maintain purity in your relationship, the first question starts from, who actually are you dating? Who is he? You cannot marry, date a guy or a girl who doesn't care about these things. What's there now? It's not, we are in love. Let's just be having sex. If that is his values, it might be impossible to achieve purity in that relationship. I don't get the point. Do you get the point? The difference between dating a believer and dating an unbeliever, a believer that cares and is growing, and an unbeliever is this. The both of them, you can make mistakes with them. But when you make a mistake with an unbeliever, it's actually not a mistake. You get the point? It's fun. When you make a mistake with a believer, both of you are discussing and thinking about how to fix it. I don't get the point. So the first question is, who are you dating? What are his values? What does he believe in? Are you going to tell someone that believes that I doesn't mind? The important thing is you love me, I love you, we have sex, you have sex. Who are you dating? Very important thing. Because one girl was asking, one question on my mail was asking, how can I be able to date a guy and live in the same and stay in the same space with him, same house actually, and yet not sleep with him? I almost replied, impossible. Because that's the thing. Who are you? There's someone that says there's nothing there. If you just love me, move into my house, we all stay together. Move into your house. You see, if you're a student here, listen to me. Now, you might not understand it until you leave school. You might think I'm just being old century or 20th century. You see, these people are doing inside school. You move in and start living with a guy or a guy. You're a foolish person. Now, you are just very foolish. You don't know anything. Ask questions. It never ends well. It never ends well. Sister, the painful thing is when the guy now moves in with the girl. No, eating her food. Her mother's had end food. You are eating it. And they are just, you are getting yourself into, most possibly, you are going to fail in school. Have a lot of carryovers. That is not because God is hating you or is punishing you. How can you even be reading that kind of thing? How can you be reading? You know when you are living alone as a student, as a lady. Some days you can come back. You don't feel like cooking. You do your cornflakes or your golden morn. Right? Then you sleep and read your books. But when you start wifing a man, you come back, you must cook. You must. It's a foolish move. I don't understand how they call it cohabiting. You are married in school or married at home. You are telling me. The other one, I've told you, I experienced this live. I always say this almost every single connect. This guy will be beating this girl. The first day I saw them living together. My friend, I wasn't even married. I just discussed with my friend. My friend called them and told them, see, try to advise them. Because they had an issue. He called them and advised them that this thing doesn't make sense. You guys are believers living together. The next day, these two people stormed into our room. I said, I want to tell you people something. I am telling you, I've never been so embarrassed in my life. You see, people should leave a relationship alone for us. My dad knows about this. The mom knows about this. They are comfortable with us. People should not be going up and down, breaking people's relationship. Hey, I say, Henry, who sent you? I didn't even call them. It was my friend that did it. My friend felt so bad. I said, don't worry. It's not we did, eh? We are not graduating now. We are here. So anytime one day my friend Apostle Casey came. He came to see me that day, and they were fighting. Beating the everybody gathered. He said, Nancy, sit down. We can stay back. We stayed. I said, let's be eating because nobody's good. He was like, see, they will kill that girl. I said, they should kill her. And I'm sitting back in this room. Let's. Every day, and you go to separate them. The other day, he said, I was lying down on my bed, and the guy came. What's happening? Come with a bucket of water. Come and pour on her. I start beating her with belts. I will not go out. Why are you angry? The next day they will go to ShopRite and they're swinging yellow waterproof back. What's your own? So I decided not to be involved. It will always end in tears. It will never end well. So I say, me, if I talk, let me know what's going on. One day we were coming back very late in the night. They were outside. Say, you leave my house. That's what he said. I locked my door. People are making noise in my window. That's my own problem. My point is, stop it. You cohabit with someone and you are trusting the Lord that nothing will happen. Something is going to happen in Jesus' name. Something must happen. What do you take the guy for? In fact, if you stay with him for 1 month and he doesn't make any advances towards you, it means he doesn't feel anything for you. I don't get the point. The proof that he feels something for you is that he's going to come and say, can I talk to you for a minute? No, stay. Get out of this place. And so, Who are you dating? What are his values? That's why I said choosing right starts from staying with what of God said. What are his values? A man that has no value can commit sin and is like nothing. You know, that's one thing I was talking about this OBB Niger thing that is ongoing. Not the problem with that show. Now, somebody, it's not really a bad show. I mean, the audition of the show is not sinful, you know, right? It's just a place where people are just there, people are voting and living their life. The reason that show is terrible is because the people living in the house are unbelievers. I didn't get the point. If it's a group of believers they're packed and put there, they will not be wearing that thing and coming out. They'll be praying. Now, but you see that house, you see that's how unbelievers live. No values. They have been playing truth or dare. I dare you to go and kiss and somebody you've never met. You carry your mat and put, what's wrong? And you see one guy we kiss four people, no value. In one game, only a maro, kiss. Saliva. Then and you find my point, you see, when you date people that have no values like that. Say, some people are actually thinking, what's there now? If you're thinking what's there, once I close this door, you come and kneel down here. Come and raise your hand. We need to release sense into you. But something is there. Something is there. Meet that the CNYSC camp. They get there. People with no values. 3 weeks in camp, you're already in love and sleeping with the person. The painful thing about NYSC camp is it's inside bush. You've come for service, right? Bush. Ibanofia, what is the problem? A side bush, no values. Now, when you date that kind of person, you are possibly going to have an issue. But when you date a person that really values, I'm not saying the person may never make a mistake or may never want to. Amen. Have you ever dated a Christian brother? Let me see your hand. Raise your hand if you're a girl. If you date a Christian brother, just raise your hand. A believer, a committed believer. Let me see your hand. Now, I'm doing this for a reason. Just raise your hand. Okay. I won't tell you to raise your hand in this one, Sha. But you know, it's the same fire that flows in the life of unbelievers also flows in their life. Do you understand what I mean? The same power, the same anointing is still there. So, I'm not saying there will be no pressure, but at least there should be two people that have standards, that have values. So what are your values? That's the first question. So who are you dating? Then if you guys have good values, then the next thing to maintain that purity, so let's say, discuss it. Talk about it. What do you discuss? Discuss your values and your boundaries. And stick to it. That I don't like this. We shouldn't do this. This is not scriptural. This is not whatever. Then you don't just say it because some of you already know. Then set your boundaries. What are the boundaries? Things like, let's not meet here. You get the point? Let's not meet here. I was telling you guys last Singles Connect. There can actually be romance. It mustn't be. A relationship can be romantic. It mustn't be inside the room to be romantic. You get the point? Romantic doesn't always mean you must be inside one room, behind closed doors, with blue light. That's not romantic. There are many things you can do as a single. Bringing your guy to this meeting is being romantic. No, listen. People are hanging out together. They're going for a picnic or picnics together. You're hanging out in the open, no? Cinema just opened, right? You don't, I'm telling you. Go there. See a very good movie. There are a lot of things you can do. So set your boundaries. It doesn't mean you guys will not be seen at all. But it means there are places people don't see. You can't lock yourself up in your room and you're trusting the Lord for power. You know, my pastor used to tell me a story. Then I was going in his school days. I was dating one girl. And things began to get out of hand. He said they decided to fast and pray. So they fasted and prayed separately. The last day they came together to break the fast. They held their hands together. They prayed and prayed and prayed. Then they said, amen. He now hugged the girl. Understand? After the whole prayer, after that, you just bring yourself. You are getting yourself in trouble. If you can set your boundaries right. Are you getting what I'm saying? Set the boundaries right. Will it be easy to keep? No. But then both of you have to promise yourselves to help yourself. Because I know it's not easy to give. That's the truth. Because both of you love yourselves. So you promise yourself that, see, when you are weak, I'm going to be your strength. And it's actually true. What it means is, the day you are weak, weak I mean, the day you really, really want to mess up, I'm going to be strong for you. And how do you know you're dating a man that has values? When you insist that you don't want, and finally it doesn't happen, he comes back to say thank you for yesterday. But if he gets angry and says, don't talk to me again, it's not your body, keep your body, you just know that you are dating a man that doesn't care about anything about values. So you set your boundaries, and then accountability will help you too. Accountability will help you too. There's another question somebody sent that I'm not going to answer here. The person sent a question about sex in marriage. Sex in marriage. That he or she is scared of sex generally in marriage. I'm not going to answer it. If you send that question, let's see after now. Praise God. Praise God though. The only thing I'm going to say about that is, if you have such fears, just take my advice. Don't believe the lies. There are many lies being told out there about sex and marriage. Things like, if you marry as a virgin, you might not have children. Have you heard such things? If you marry as a virgin, you will not know how to satisfy your husband. It's nonsense. The man that is not a virgin today was once a virgin. Right? Amen? So, don't believe such lies. It's nonsense. But if you ask that question, you can meet me after now. Or if you have to ask such things, I'm going to explain some things to you. Okay, things like, I don't like, how do you even put it again? The girl was like, I forgot how to put the question, something about my body not being, and I don't have the assets to, you know. I said, what is assets again? You don't realize that people like different things. Do you understand? I'll leave it at that. I won't say more. People like, if you're a lady here and you like very fair guys, let me see your hand. You like, okay, if you're here, you cannot stand a fair guy. Let me see your hand. That is just people and their preference. It doesn't mean that. Take it to the other one. He said, I'm not as curvy as. Come on, what are they doing with curve? Don't believe the lies. I won't say much about that. I mean, I want to say, but I will not say it because of our time and because of the purity of this meeting. Then, gather your questions. If you have questions, send to the ushers quickly. Let me answer this last one. The last question that came in was about ministry, marriage, and work. Okay, a lot of questions came in that direction. Ministry, marriage, and work. One of the questions was about managing relationships in church. Somebody was asking, what if I fall in love with my pastor? Or if I'm a pastor and I fall in love with a member? Or if I'm just a member in church and I'm in love with another member in church? How do I handle it? Let me tell you the answer. One, don't mess things up. Don't just jump around with your emotions like a loose cannon. Just, I love this person. I love you. Before you find out, you have proposed to 7 girls in church. Now, when you handle mic and you talk, they don't see you as anything. So you see this one. I don't realize that some of these girls talk to themselves. You know, they talk to themselves. So I can just imagine Sister Jenny telling Sister Nelo that, hey, onya no na, onkyo no na agwa. Are you serious? Agwa kwa mtu. And then you don't have value again. They reduce you to nothing. And they'll tell other of their friends. And they no, don't mess things up. Okay? What you actually do is, especially you have a sister in church or a brother in church you're looking at, please be accountable. Come and let us know. And I'm saying this, or let your local church, if it's a good church that has value for relationships, let the pastor or the leadership know. Some reasons, it will save you a lot of stress. One, it will show that you have sense. Two, a pastor can even save your life. He can even tell you, leave that girl or she's dating. Do you know that many people here, they're just giving a secret. It's only the pastor that knows that. And you're not going to apply for a job that has no vacancy. You get the point? And so it will save a lot of stress. And then you're just being wise to do that. And some pastors, not Misha, can actually help you facilitate the process. Praise God. But you know we don't do that here, right? But some pastors can help you facilitate the process. If you are my very good son, I could help you. Okay? But helping you does not mean we go and check the girl for you. You just act like God. Have you considered my servant Job? Yeah. It's not like we check the girl. We just say, have you? Praise God. So, first thing, be accountable. Then, second question came on, how can I combine ministry, relationship, and work? I want to say it is very possible to do that, okay? 1 Timothy 5, verse 9. That's one scripture. 1 Timothy 5, verse 9 tells us that a widow, someone that can be called a widow, should have been able to do these three things. 1 Timothy 5, verse 9. That's just the scripture for today. And then I will charge you generally. I've seen some questions already. So, 1 Timothy 5, verse 9. He said, let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years. That's under 60 years. Now, he was given the qualification for this widow. Having been the wife of one man. Next verse. Well reported of for good works. If she have brought up children. If she have lodged strangers. If she have washed the saints' feet. If she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. So you find out, this widow is everything. She has good works. She brings up her children. That's family, right? She brings up her children very well. She has lodged strangers. She has washed the feet of saints. What that means is, she has served the saints. So she's doing ministry. She have relieved them. So she's everything. So it's actually possible to be that kind of woman or to be that kind of man who combines ministry work and then family perfectly without breaking anyone or messing anyone up. This idea that once you're a minister or once we are telling you to be involved with ministry, we are calling you to come and suffer, it means your work will be bad, is a lie. We're not saying you can combine ministry, combine work, do your work well, be rich, serve God well, and then take care of your family perfectly well. That's all I'm going to say. It's actually very possible. But the major key in doing that is priority, placing what is first. You get the point? Okay, in these three things, which one should be last? Ministry, work, family, which one should be last? Work, money should be the last. When you place your work and your job and your money above your family, you're going to be a very rich, foolish man. You get the point? Your family is first before any other thing. Yeah, be the rich fool, yes. Well, some of you, you're wondering, this pastor can preach for long. Well, not yet. You know, some people are so used to spiritual small chops. 10 minutes message. Small chops. That's not what we do here. We've not seen anything. Spiritual small chops. 10 minutes, 15 minutes. No. I take time to explain things very well. Amen. Well, so what am I saying? Work should come last. Ministry and family should be up. So you can actually combine them. Place what should be. That's why you can place what should be where it should be. I won't say much. When the time comes, I'll keep answering this question. I tell you, you have the wisdom of God. Amen. You have the wisdom of God to handle this thing. But there might be times you might need to slow down on this, to step up on this. I don't get the point. In the journey. Sometimes you might have to slow down on your work to focus more on your family. Sometimes you might have to slow down on some things to focus more on some things. As it comes, the wisdom of God is unveiled and unfolded in you. And you have what it takes to handle that. Bring the questions up. Finally, let me say this. Where do these fears come from? These fears come from your past, your experiences. These things come from things you have seen. Things people have said to you, right? Things you have observed. If you don't want to keep having all these fears about relationship and marriage, I'll give you an answer. Simply fix your eyes on what the word of God has to say about relationship. Stop looking at what is happening. You believe all men are liars and all men are cheats because you've seen all men cheat. But if you read the Bible, that's not what the Bible teaches. So stay with the word. Put your attention on your eyes on the word of God, and that way you will have the right perspective about marriage and relationship. Did you learn anything today? Very well. So let me have the questions very quickly. I'll just take 5 minutes for that, and then we close. Okay?
Praise God.
Okay. Come on. Yeah. Come up. Okay. Very well.
The first one says, concerning verbal abuse, some people grew up in an environment where verbal abuse is their normal and are probably ignorant of the effects in each other's life. Does that mean they are not worthy to be loved?
What that means is that they have to grow. Growth. Now, there's no guy you are going to meet or no lady you are going to meet that is perfect. I always teach, marry someone that is committed to his or her growth. It means they have to grow. In Christ, do not learn verbal abuse. Okay? So it means they have to grow. And let me ask you, because it is their normal, will you now subject yourself to it because it is their normal? Since that's how they grew up, I'll just be taking everything. They call you an idiot. It's their normal. No, don't be like that. And so they have to grow. So when you find some people, they need help. That help is spiritual growth. As you begin to grow and tailor your mind towards the word of God, you find out that you don't abuse people verbally, okay?
This one says, as a lady in marriage, must you take permission from your husband for your friends or relatives to visit? I'm not about informing him, but like seeking permission.
Well, I am of the opinion that before someone visits the house, possibly to come and stay over, for instance, whether it's from the man or from the woman, they both should seek permission from each other. It's not a man or it's not a woman thing. You get the point? Because it's invasion of privacy. No, that's what it is, invasion of privacy. Because you want to bring your mom to come and stay in the house for 2 weeks. Let your husband know. If you are the man, don't say, I'm the man, it's my house. No. Tell your wife too. Because last, you'll be the one cooking for your mom. You get the point? Don't do that. It's not a permission thing. The man should tell the woman. The woman should tell the man that, hey, somebody's coming. But if what you are asking is, if your friends want to visit you at all in the house, they must take permission from your husband just to visit and come and go. Well, you might be in a semi-abusive relationship. You get the point? Except there are particular friends that he has warned you about, or that he said, I don't like these people around you. So you can just do well to respect him and keep up with that. Next question.
I think you've answered the first part of this, but the second one says, when are you permitted to become polite?
When?
Are you permitted to become polite?
I don't know what that means. Next question.
To be like Paul.
You're already like Paul in Christ.
Not to marry.
Okay, when are you permitted not to marry? The Bible said a man is permitted not to marry if he doesn't have any urgency. Do you know what that means? Look for that scripture. It's 1 Corinthians 7. 1 Corinthians 7. If there is no urgency. But I know everybody here. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Okay, that's the way Kim just put it. But what the Bible was trying to say there is, you are permitted not to marry if there is no such movement in you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay, just whatever you don't understand is the correct thing. So unless there's no urgency, but apart from that, why should you want to marry? Most of the people saying I don't want to get married are products of terrible relationships or maybe terrible experiences that they've seen in others. Don't believe that rubbish. Okay, get married. Want to marry? God thinks marriage is good. I think it is good too. So please, I wish you marriage. Amen. Next question, please.
Can a girl marry a guy she's older than?
It's the person's choice. I think the question is, can you, a girl, respect a guy you are older than? Do you understand? Because the husband is the head. I hope tomorrow he's not going to shout at you. And you say, I talk am gato, so you don't even bring that in. Do you understand? Can you respect such a person? If you can, wonderful. If you can't, so it's up to you. And I was talking with one particular girl some years ago. We were getting along. I wasn't planning to date her. I'm that good. I wasn't planning to date her. We were just friends. But then she was talking. But I would have planned in the future because we were getting along very well. Praise God, though. Okay, now, then one day she was talking. And she was like, of course, I looked older than her. I thought she was like, well, my age is this. And once I've told myself, I can never date anybody. I can't even respect you if you're older than me. If I'm older than you, she just talked to her. She now looked at me and said, that's why I'm happy. I don't keep friends that I'm older than. That's why I thank God to you now. I'm so sure, looking at yourself, you're older than me already. I say, yes. That was the last day we ever talked. So, if you, it's not a bad thing, it's just you. Okay, if you can't flow with it, the Bible did not give such answers. Okay, but it's not like this one going on Facebook, where a 70-year-old woman will marry a 20-year-old guy because the lady has money. That thing is not marriage. It's not marriage. It's not. Next question.
Papa, what will you do when a guy attacks you, but then you bring him to church for him to grow, but he ends up liking and dating another person in that church? Just leave my church.
Okay. Wow. Oh God. Just call and say, see, Shai brought you to this church. Start going. Okay, well, what you do is, first, did you make it clear to him that let's just be friends for the meantime? Let's see how it goes. If you did, fine. If you didn't and he has just moved on with another person, move on with your life. You should be fulfilled in one thing. You brought him to church. He's growing spiritually. Be happy about that. What that tells you actually is that if you had dated him, he would have still left you if he had met the other person. It's a very simple thing. So sometimes God delivered you from something that he didn't deliver you from, on a very serious note. So I don't think it's much of a big deal. Is it hard? Just zero your mind. Well, it's going to pain you small, though. But most times, it's ladies, it pains small. You know, some ladies, I was talking about it, some ladies behave like demons. A boy check you. You refused. The boy goes on to check your friend. You get angry. What's your problem? Some ladies behave like demons. You tell a girl, a guy, it's over between us. Say okay. He follows your friend. He said, why will you date my friend? Well, but then it's gonna hurt you a little, but then just be mature and move on. But if you're a guy, it's not really the best thing to do, Sha. If you're a guy listening to me, and if it's about you that this question came, if you are the reason this question was asked, I have to listen carefully to me. It's not the best thing to do. If you are that close to a girl, I'm of the opinion, there's a place for respect. And that respect, you can as well mention it to the girls. I'm looking at, you get the point? Respect the girl's emotions. You can't keep a girl around you, running around you and all that, and they are running parallel with another person. You're sorting the person. So it's not really the best. But if a lady, if it happens to you, move on with your life, a better guy will come. But and don't be scared to bring guys to church because of that. Okay.
Papa, what will you do when your son tells you his wife beats him?
Well, the wife
The wife beats him. I'll first register him in a gym. He'll start working out, like on the gym. You know, get the point. I wanted to muscle. Can't keep working again. Well, it's a very terrible thing. It depends on what the beating is. If it is beating that I used to see Max, we have to separate them. It's the same thing. We have to separate them. Maybe arrest the lady. She's a witch. So we have to separate them for the meantime. I think that's it. Is that all? Okay.
So this one.
Go ahead.
Okay, sir. Papa, is there any type of sex that is wrong between husband and wife?
Well, I understand that question. I won't say much about it because you're not married. But I'm going to answer. Actually, sex is for procreation, but then it's for pleasure. That's what about why it was created. Now, now, it's meant to be enjoyed. Try out what you want to try out and all that. But you see, there are some kind of things that are inhuman. Kill me. Strangle me. Frustrate me. Drag me. No. Please. There was a case a man of God brought to us. Handled the case. If you don't understand what I just said now, then it's not for you. Some things are just inhuman. Kill me. A guy, because they're trying to satisfy, this guy went to take this. What is this in Hausa people used to carry up and down? It's not a boat, that's something they used to carry. See, so took this thing for more than 4 hours. And it became a norm. The lady had to run to her pastor. This man will kill me in this house. So some things are just inhuman, okay? Some things, but then apart from that, actually nothing. That of course, once it's been the boundaries of marriage and there is mutual consent, we both agree that we're going to do this, that is not really, there's nothing, there's no restriction. There's, once it is mutual, don't try to, you are not, you guys, it's not fight. You get the point? There's mutual consent. Once it's mutual, it's okay. Is that all? Okay, very good. The scripture we're looking for was 1 Corinthians 7:36-37. Let's look, work with King James, and then we work with NLT, then we close. Can I decide not to get married? That was the question. 1 Corinthians 7:36-37. Bible teaches, if there is no urgency, and I want to show you that. What's keeping us? Okay, first Corinthians, open it to your Bible. 1 Corinthians 7:36-37. Open on your Bible. Either you open it or you punch it. Just have something. Okay. I want to read from here, but I want to read with NLT. Are we close? Media people. We are not. Okay. Open your Bible. 1 Corinthians 7:36-37. Are you there? Are you there? Oh, I read from where you are. 1, 2, 3, go. Okay, let me hear you. 1, 2, 3, go. Okay, put up NLT on the screen. Let's read from the screen because you don't even know what you're reading. Okay, let's 1, 2, 3, go. But if a man thinks that he's treating his fiancée improperly, and will inevitably give in to his passion, let him marry her as he wishes. It is not. Now, next verse. But if he has decided firmly not to marry, and there is no urgency, and he can control his passion, he does well. So if there is no urgency, I can control your passion, it's okay. Let me not just see you looking at any girl in this church. Let me not see you looking at, let me not hear that you did anything. Or if there is that urgency, just get married. Marriage is a beautiful thing. Why don't you want to marry in the first place? Kill the fears. Focus on the word of God. Okay? You do well not to marry if there's no urgency. But he said, if you will inevitably give in to your passion, marry her. It's not a sin. Praise God. What is the point? Not getting married. And I see jumping from place to place. Just get married and enjoy your life. Amen. Praise God. How many of you are trusting the Lord for the best of relationships and marriages? Every time in this Singles Connect, I always try to pray for you. The purpose of all this is that we will come to a point where we decide to do relationship the Bible way. I close by saying, you might have been hurt in your relationship. You might have been wounded. You might have hurt people too. You might have had terrible experiences. It's time to live beyond all those fears, all those bad things that have happened, and focus on the word of God. The word of God has what it says. He has said about relationship. Please believe what the Bible said. And I believe you are going to have the best of relationships. Amen. Kill the fears. Amen. Kill the fears. Kill the fears. All the fear. What if he cheats on me? What if he doesn't cheat on you? What if he doesn't beat you? Kill the fears. God can never give you something that you will regret. You know, right? With God, there's always a happy ending. Hallelujah. God bless you. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. So all your fears about relationship should actually be discarded. Decide, I'm going to challenge you this evening to decide to do things. Decide to do your relationship the Bible way. Let me see your hand if that's your decision this evening. You want to do your relationship God's way. You want to do it God's way. You want to do your choosing God's way. Dating God's way. However, you want to do it the way God said it should be done. Is that you? It's a decision. You must decide. You can decide not to do it God's way anyway. There are many other ways you can do it. You can say, just leave. I was all these things that try to restrict us. Let me enjoy my life. If that is you, it's your choice. But if you are here and you have a decision, you're making a decision to do your relationship God's way. I want to lift your right hand and let's pray in the Holy Ghost. I want to do it God's way. It's either God's way or no way at all. I'm going to deal with all the fears and do it God's way. In your heart. Some of you are already dating, but you are still scared. What if he cheats? What if? Deal with all those fears in the place of prayer. And there are some of you, there are some ladies, I see that there are 3 ladies here. There are actually a couple of guys who are currently seriously on you. And the problem is that all of them meet the requirements. And so you have an issue with choosing. The Lord said, my wisdom is made available for you. Just go ahead and pray. You will not make a mistake. You will not make a mistake. Just lift your voice, pray for that. Shamalata la barakosia. My relationship is covered. We're going to just take one song and we're going to make that commitment again. That commitment that says, I want to do it
God's way or no at all. Lord, I give you my heart.
I give you my soul.
I live for you.
I live for you.
Lord,
have your way.
Let me sing it.
Me.
I give you my heart.
Lord, I give you my heart.
Hey, I
give you my soul.
I live for you.
I live for you. Oh, Lord, every step the right day.
Hey.
Every moment.
Left this for the last. Carry your Bible up. Ephesians 5 verse 25. You know why I left it for now? I don't want you to leave your head. Ephesians 5:25. The model marriage is not your parents' marriage. That's what God said I should say. The model marriage is not that your friend's marriage. The model marriage is not even Abraham and Sarah in the Bible. That's not the model marriage. The model marriage is not all the things that fail. The model marriage is Christ and the church. You want to learn relationship and learn marriage? Look at how Christ is marrying the church. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Verse 26, he says that he might sanctify and cleanse the washing of water by the word. Verse 27. That he might present it to himself, a glorious church. So, how is Christ marrying the church? He's loving her. How is the church married to Christ? She's submitting to her, to him. So, they're loving themselves, submitting to themselves. And I am of the opinion, and I insist, that if the marriage between Christ and the church is working, then mine is going to work. You get the point? Because you find out towards the end of this scripture, in verse 31, Paul will explain that this analogy was about Christ and the church, but it was actually about marriage. He said, for this cause shall a man. Look at verse 32. That's the next verse. Oh, sorry. Verse 30, rather. Verse 30. He said, for we are members of his flesh and body, and of his flesh and people. Continue. He said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother. Is there a next verse? He says, this is a great mystery, yes. He said, but I speak concerning who and who. So when he was talking about man, leave father and mother, he was talking about Christ and the church. The verse 33 now summarizes it. He now says, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular love his wife, even as himself. And so we find out he was using Christ and the church to explain husbands and wife. So if Christ and the church is a relationship that is working, with all the failures that the church has, if that marriage can still work, then your marriage can work. I get the point. The only decision I'm going to get you to make this evening is that you're going to do your marriage and your relationship God's way. You're not just going to do what everybody's saying. You're going to stick with what the Word of God has said. Even if it's going to keep me longer, I'm going to stick with what the Word of God has said. And on this note, I want to say, if you're here, you're not born again. You've not made Jesus the Lord of your life. You've not accepted the forgiveness of Jesus that he offered you on the cross. When he went to the cross, he died for you. He paid for all your sins. He paid for all, not one is left. Some of the mistakes I mentioned today, you are guilty of them. But today you want to accept the forgiveness of Jesus. Like you know that right there where you are, Jesus has forgiven all your sins. All he's asking you to do is to accept that forgiveness today. All he's asking you to do is to open your heart and say, Father, I believe you paid for my sins, and I accept that forgiveness. I accept the forgiveness. And just like it's always said, Jesus is standing there. He's saying, all your mess, all the mistakes you've made, I've paid for them. All I want you to do
is to accept that forgiveness I've offered you. Okay? So being born again is not stopping and turning from your evil ways. No. Turning from your evil ways is the after effect of being born again. Being born again is accepting and receiving the free gift of forgiveness that Jesus has given you. If this is you, I'd like you to say this once after me. And we all are going to say it together with them. Say, thank you, Jesus. Like you say, thank you, Jesus. Let me hear you say, thank you, Jesus, for paying for my sins. Thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me. Thank you, Jesus, for accepting me. Thank you, Jesus, for I know that in you I am righteous. I am sanctified. I'm no longer a sinner. I'm no longer a sinner. I'm a saint. I'm a believer. No more as a sinner. Satan, you've lost me forever. I'm a child of God. I'm righteous in Christ. I'm sanctified in Him. I'm redeemed in Him. I am redeemed in Him. I am holy. Jesus loves me. I can never be lost anymore. I can never go to hell anymore. I can never be a sinner anymore. Yes, 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 yes.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.